So we live in a supernatural kingdom that has different rules and principles than the natural realm. Is that true? So what is true in God's kingdom looks a little bit different than what is in the natural. Yes? And that's why Jesus told his disciples to pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth, even as it is in heaven." Because in his kingdom, things are different. So we're asking our Father to cause the rules and principles of his kingdom to overrule what appears that things have to be in our situation. Okay, let me say that again so you can think about it. We look at our situations and we decide they're facts. But from God's point of view, they're not facts. They're information, but they're not facts that cannot be changed. You got that? Okay. So that's where we're going today. His kingdom rules and principles override what appears to be true in our situations. When Jesus sent his followers out into surrounding towns, one of his instructions was to heal the sick. So, with the instruction to heal the sick, that means in the natural, something was wrong. Okay? You understand that. When somebody is sick, something in your body is not working properly. Maybe you have a bacteria, a virus. Maybe you had an injury, you had an illness, but something isn't working correctly. And he was telling them, and he tells us, that we have the power, because of him, to overrule that fact. Right? Because why would he say to them, heal the sick, if he didn't expect them to go out and say to somebody, hey, I see that you have measles, be healed in Jesus' name. So it was a fact that she had measles, but his kingdom rules overwhelm what appears to be fact. Okay, you following me? You agree? Jesus told them that when he prayed for them, when they prayed for the people and healed the sick, then they were to announce the kingdom of God is right here. See, we're saying your kingdom come, your will be done here, even as it is there. And when they went out and prayed for someone and they were healed, Jesus said, tell them, okay, the kingdom of God is here. It has just arrived. Our Father's ruling realm overrides the natural. His kingdom has dynamic truth that trumps what we see as facts. So we all know math facts, right? So you've probably, you know, in school you had these word problems. So you have 10 balloons, and I give 2 balloons to Lori, and I give 5 balloons to Stanley. How many balloons do I have left? So does that ever change? 10 minus 2 minus 5 always equals 3. But in God's kingdom, math rules don't apply. And we're going to look at an example of that. So Aiden, would you want to come up? I told him I was going to ask him to come up. And you want to sit here? He was like, okay, Papa. Okay, so the village heard that this rabbi that everybody was excited about was teaching out in the football field at the high school. And so they all said, we want to go hear him. So they traveled from villages that were close, villages that were far. And so Pastor Adam decides he wants to go hear Jesus. So he's going to travel the 10 miles from Bowling Springs or 12 miles to Newville, probably walking most of the day to get there to hear Jesus. And Aiden says, Dad, I want to go along. So Dad says, okay, you can come along. And they're heading out the door and they hear from the other room, don't forget to pack him something to eat. Does that sound familiar? Yeah. So Adam goes to the cupboard and he grabs 5 granola bars and he grabs 2 pieces of lunch meat out of the refrigerator, throws it in a bag, and gives it to Aiden. So now they travel and they get there, and so people from all over come to hear Jesus, to hear this rabbi. And he's interesting enough. See, I only have to hold your attention for 35 or 40 minutes, but Jesus was talking to them all day. And they were interested, and all of a sudden his disciples realized, you know what? The people have been here all day, and nobody's had lunch. They're getting pretty hungry. And so remember, they have this conversation. They go, Jesus, what are you going to do about it? And Jesus says, well, I don't know. What are you going to do about it? And they're like, well, we don't know what to do about it. And so Jesus says, well, what do you have? That's the question. We look at what we don't have. Jesus looks at what we do have. Remember math facts. So the one disciple says, you know, there's a little guy here whose father sent along with him a lunch. Let's go see if we can get him to give us our lunch. So Aiden, you have a bag that has 5 bars in it, and I know how you like bars, and it has 2 pieces of lunch meat in it. Would you give it to me? Now, I know Aiden pretty well. Aiden's probably thinking, as long as I can get that one bar out first, then I'll give them the rest. Right? Would you want that one bar? See? Okay. But Aiden decides, because he's such a wonderful kid, that he's going to share with that disciple who went to ask him his whole bag of lunch. Okay? Thank you, thank you. So now I'm taking 5 granola bars and 2 pieces of lunch meat to Jesus. So he gave up his whole lunch. He gave it to Jesus. Now, remember, we're doing math. 5 and 2. What does that equal? 7. How many people can eat and fill full out of 5 granola bars and 2 pieces of lunch meat? How many? Okay, well, I know Aiden, he'd eat 3 of those granola bars because he likes granola bars, and he'd easily eat the 2 pieces of lunch meat, so he would share 1 or 2 granola bars with somebody else. Are you going to feel full like you ate lunch? Huh? So, the math in Jesus' kingdom, 5 loaves and 2 fish fed 5,000 plus people. And there were 12 basketfuls of leftovers. Now, wait a minute. You only started with 5 granola bars and 2 pieces of lunch meat. How did you end up with 12 basketfuls of leftovers? See, in God's kingdom, math facts don't apply. His rules and principles weigh override math facts. And with him, this is it. Are you listening? You always get back more than you get. Because didn't Aiden end up having enough to fill him up for lunch? He apparently did, and his dad, and the other 4,999 people, that they were so full. Now, if any of you come out to the men's group Wednesday night, there are not 12 basketfuls left. If 3 desserts show up, we devour 3 desserts, don't we, guys? And so it said there were 5,000 men there, Pastor Kurt. 5,000 men, that is a lot of loaves and fishes. A lot of loaves and fishes. And they were fool enough that they let the disciples pick up and return 12 basketfuls of leftovers. Come on. Is God generous or what? In another story, 7 loaves and a few small fish fed 4,000, and that time they got back 7 basketfuls. So that means his kingdom preempts what we see as facts. Medical facts. Scientific facts. Natural facts. You agree? Some examples to think about with me. Rivers were parted and the ground was dry. Come on, does that happen in the natural? Hungry lions didn't eat or even bite. Fire didn't burn or even singe. City walls fell down because trumpets blew and people yelled. To help Joshua defeat his enemies, God caused the sun to stand still. What? Come on. God stopped time. Another instance to prove to King Hezekiah that his word was true, God actually caused time to move backwards. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. And he healed many, many people that no medical cure was available in those days. So you get back more than you invest. You get back more than you give. Second example. Let's think about the reckless love of Father God. He recklessly lavishes his love on us, even though we did nothing to earn it. Father God decided that his daughters and sons deserved to be loved recklessly. The word reckless here means lack of restraint. Our Father does not hold back or restrict the amount of love he has for us. It is extravagant. Do you agree? It's extravagant. So let's think about this example. I know you know this story, but I'm looking at different parts of stories than I usually do. So we looked at the lunch and the guy who gave 7 and got back all those leftovers, even after feeding 5,000. So you know the story. The son left. He wasted what his father gave him. Wasted. Did he deserve to be loved? Did he deserve to be passionately welcomed back home? You and I would probably say, nope, he didn't. At least. See, we have to put at least in there. At least until he explained, apologized, and admitted his many mistakes, and agreed to our terms to allow him back into the family property. That's what the older brother wanted. He wanted an apology. He wanted repentance. He wanted him to explain how awful he was and how all the things he did was terrible. Then I'll welcome him home. His father ran and greeted him because he was looking for his return. And they probably had that conversation sometime. And we do have to talk about wise boundaries as we work with each other. But the father held nothing back as it related to how recklessly he loved his son and was waiting for his return. The son got way more out of the deal than he put in. The reckless, extravagant love of God. Jesus teaches that in His kingdom, when you plant a seed, a seemingly small amount, and that seed goes on good soil, it produces 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as you plant. That's His kingdom principle. So when we give something to God, when we plant something in His kingdom, we should do so expecting to get back much, much more than the amount that we put in. Much more. All right. Let's look at one more story. We are in Matthew 14, verse 24. Again, a familiar story, but we're going to look at a part of the story that you may not have focused on before. Matthew 14, verse 24. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble. Have you ever been in trouble? Have you ever been in a situation that was a critical situation? Maybe you feared for your life, you feared for your health, you feared for your well-being. They were in trouble far away from land. This was not going to be a quick solution. This was not going to be, oh, this is a little rocky, I'm going to jump out of the boat because I'm only out where it's a foot and a half deep and I can walk it. Or even maybe it's over my head, but right there's land. I can certainly swim that far. They were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. So they're in a boat, and they're being tossed to and fro, and water's coming in the boat. It's dark. This is at night, by the way, if I didn't mention that. There's something about night, isn't there? Things always look worse, seem worse. So it was dark. They were in trouble. They were being battered around. Anybody ever feel like you're being battered around by life? None of you ever feel that way. Your pastor does too occasionally. About 3 o'clock in the morning. 3 o'clock in the morning. Jesus came toward them walking on the water. That sounds like a good thing, right? But you're in the midst of darkness. You're in the midst of fear. You're in the midst of being battered around by the wind and the waves. You're wet. You're thinking you're probably going to drown, never make it to the other side. And you hear this voice. Well, first you see something. Okay? Boy, we're good at imagining things at night, aren't we? And so I'm wondering if they thought this was their imagination. They see something and it says they were terrified. It doesn't say they were a little concerned. It says terrified. Come on. Sometimes when we feel alone, sometimes when we feel battered around, sometimes when we don't see a solution, and Jesus is right there, but because we don't recognize Him, we're terrified. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost!" So to add to everything else going on, now something evil's after. But Jesus spoke to them at once. I love these at once. Jesus knew the situation they were in, knew their fear, and at once He says, "Don't be afraid. Take courage. I'm here. It's me." Yay. In the midst of storms, in the midst of fear, in the midst of not seeing a solution yourself, Jesus said, I am here. So they had to wonder, the voice sounds a little familiar, but it's dark and the wind's blowing and the waves. I wonder if it really is Jesus. Have you ever asked that? Jesus, I want to know you're here with me. Are you here? Are you really here? He tells us he never leaves us or forsakes us, whether we can see him or hear him clearly or not. We know he's there. But Peter, now of course it was Peter, right? So Peter says, Jesus, if it's you, tell me to come. Now wait, come on. First of all, that's probably not what I would have said. You know, I would have said, you know, I'm enough afraid in this boat. This boy is not stepping out in the middle of a storm in a lake in the dark. You turn on your glow light, you know, or whatever, so that I know it's you. I wouldn't say, sure, call me out on the little lake when I'm already terrified. But that's what Peter said. He wanted reassurance that he didn't have to be afraid. He couldn't see clearly that it was Jesus. So we can ask that question. That is not a wrong question. Jesus, reveal yourself to me more fully. Let me see you clearly. Let me hear you clearly. I'm in the midst of a situation where I need to hear from you. I need to see you. As we get to know Jesus' voice better, and as we get to know Jesus better, as the one who won't leave us, never, never does, then we won't need to wonder or to guess. But in the meantime, we can ask, like Peter did. Prove it to me by allowing me to come to you. What was he asking Jesus for? He was asking Jesus for a miracle. Okay? A miracle. You all look like you're not convinced. Do all of you walk on water and I just don't know it? I'm pretty sure you don't. Not yet. Okay? I hear that. And I'm pretty sure you wouldn't attempt it in the middle of the night at 3 a.m. on a lake in a storm. And step out of the boat and walk on the water. So Peter was asking Jesus for a miracle. Remember, we're looking at, we get more than we give. We get more than we invest. That God is extravagant in the way that he deals with us. Do you and I sometimes hesitate to ask for a miracle? We do, don't we? We're going to work it out. We're going to consult other people. We're going to try it 10 different ways. And then if it doesn't work, then we'll ask Jesus for it. So how did Jesus respond? The Jesus who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Was he irritated? I almost expected Jesus to say, Pete, really? But he didn't. Was he angry he asked for proof? No. Did he just ignore him? See, sometimes we think Jesus ignores him. In verse 29, he says, come. That was his answer. Come. Sure, I will prove it is me so that you and your friends don't have to be afraid. Jesus is willing to prove himself. Ask him to do it. Jesus, I need a miracle. Prove yourself. So, Jesus told him to come, that he would allow him a miracle, and he steps out of the boat. That has to be my favorite picture. I have it in my office. I've had it for years and years and years. I got it as an antique down at Silver Springs Flea Market. That's how many years ago. And most of you'd say, what? There's a Wegmans there now. But it used to be something else. Because there have been a number of times in my life where I've been in situations where I've said, okay, this is going to take a miracle. And Jesus says to me, well, then you take the step. I'm like, no, I'd rather you take the step. You come in my boat. You cause the wind to stop. Then we'll talk about what I'm going to do. And he says, no, you take the step out of the boat. Because I'm going to allow you to walk on water. Come on. Think about what a miracle that was. Peter was terrified of the storm. In fear, he was going to die. And he thought that Jesus, this figure that he saw, was a ghost. But he stepped out of the boat. Wow. And he actually walked on water. Now, I know what we all focus on. We focus on the fact that he got his eyes off of Jesus and back on the wind and the waves, because his eyes were on Jesus and he sunk. But come on, he's the only one of the disciples that walked on water. And we don't have recorded in our Bible that anybody else did. And I've never met anybody who did yet. See, Jesus gave him more than he asked for. He was uncertain and afraid. Jesus gave him faith and a miracle, and he actually got to do what Jesus was doing. That was the more than. When we join Jesus, we get to do the same miracle Jesus is doing. See? So he and Jesus were standing there, both walking on the water. And when we pray, Father, your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven, often he says, are you going to join me in making that become true? Are you going to step out of the boat, and are you going to join me in making that become true? Okay, so what was the point of our message this morning? We offer to Jesus ourselves. We offer to him whatever we have, regardless of how small we think it is. If we say, well, Jesus, all I have is a couple granola bars. Look what he did with a couple granola bars. Father God, all I have is a desire to come back to you, knowing that I really messed up. Did the Father expect any more than that? Jesus, I want to be where you are. And he says, come, step out of the boat. Jesus returns much more to us than we invest. He allows us to be part of the miraculous as we come alongside him. See, the math doesn't add up in his kingdom. You plant a little seed and you get 30, 60, and 100 fold. Yay! And it's not your effort making that happen. Yes, Peter had to take the step of obedience and get out of the boat. But did he have any part of the walking on the water? He did. Aiden had to give up his lunch. Jesus is the one who blessed it and multiplied.